Irreverent, entertaining, cool. You're listening to LA Talk Radio.
You're listening to Sam in the Morning with Jen, right here on LA Talk Radio.
Good morning and welcome to Wednesday, May 6th. We're back with you, as we are every day, 5 days a week.
Well, right, except here. Me this week, because I am going to Miami.
Yes, you are.
Bye.
Bye. I was going to ask you, I forgot to ask you before, I want you to pull back a little bit from the mic.
Oh.
Because, like something like that, it's better. I'll tell you why. Because I was listening to the show yesterday, and you were louder than everybody. And, I mean, there's nothing wrong with that. It's just that when you listen to it, then, you know, you have to adjust the volume.
Yes.
You know, and then we can't hear other people.
True.
So just pull back just a little bit.
My voice does carry.
No, that's not it. It's just that you're very close the way I asked you to be. But when other people are not as close, then it creates that. So.
Oh, yeah.
But at any rate. So we have a guest waiting in the wings in just a minute. We're going to bring him in. Today is the day after Cinco de Mayo. So we'd like a drinking report from you. Do you have one?
I do.
So let's hear what you drank and where and why.
Okay. Well, I don't have a reason for the why, because I never really do.
Because it's May 5th, right?
Right. Well, exactly. And if Lauren and I didn't go out, it would be like sacrilege.
Yeah.
People would be like, are you really two drunk girls?
Right.
We don't know.
Yeah.
We don't know. It's questionable.
Yeah. So, you got to live up to your name.
Exactly. I mean, someone has to. So, right. And we definitely don't want to be frauds. So we went to Pearls for a friend's book release signing thing that he did. It was Cinco de Cairo. His name is Aaron Cairo, and he just released a book called Galgorithm, like how to figure out girls, basically.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Well, let's bring him into the show.
We will.
Okay,
awesome. When I get back in town, I'll set it up.
Okay.
Well, I got a couple guests, actually, that I spoke to last night. So
great. So what, I guess we can ask him, but your opinion, what qualifies him to write a book about girls? Is he pretty popular with girls and everything?
I don't really know about that, but he's a comedian, so his take on everything is very funny.
Okay.
And yeah, I guess he's done enough trial and error to know what works and doesn't work.
Right. And there's a big market for people that want to pick up girls. So
right.
I suppose a book like that would probably always get some attention.
Definitely.
Know? Good.
So we went from there with our crew to next door, which was Rockin' Riley's.
Mm.
These three bars are like next to each other. So we went from one to the other.
So you
to
go
the
bar hopping and stuff.
Yeah. So we started at Pearls, went to Rockin' Riley's, and then we ended up at the Barrel Room,
mm-hmm.
all owned by the same people.
Now, let me ask you this. Why would you, in one evening, go to three different bars?
Because it was a different like demographic in each bar.
Oh, it is?
Yeah.
Oh.
And, I mean, they each have like a different theme. So like Pearls is kind of like pretty and girlier and nicer. And then Rockin' Riley's is more of a, like an Irish bar. Mm. And then the Barrel Room is a whiskey bar, so it's a little bit darker and, I don't know, a whiskey bar.
So you just go for different moods and stuff.
Yeah, I mean, I drank the same thing at each bar, but
yeah.
I was with the same people at each bar. But, you know, it was a good time.
Yeah, definitely.
We needed a change of scenery, so we did all that. Uh-huh. I had skinny margaritas all night.
So you did have margaritas.
I did. I wasn't going to, but then someone was persuasive, and so I drank tequila.
So,
I was fine, though.
Yeah? Were they good?
They were good.
Those margaritas?
Yeah. Yep.
Hmm.
And I don't have a hangover today. I'm a little tired.
Yeah.
Because I was just out late, but
yeah.
Other than that, I'm fine.
Yeah. Yeah, I know. But thank goodness for Uber now, huh? When people drink too much and stuff, I'm not saying that you did, but I'm just thinking in general. When people drink too much, they don't really have to drive now.
Exactly.
Just get an Uber.
Yeah. However, though, the surge prices on Uber are like out of control right now.
The what prices?
Surge prices.
Oh, really?
So anytime there's like a holiday or a fight or something that's going on in the city, the pricing on Ubers goes up. Because there's not that many drivers out there, so they can charge you a certain amount. Like, so Saturday night, it was 3.4 times the amount of a normal Uber.
Mm. Interesting. So who sets the prices, though?
Uber.
Uber does?
Yeah.
Okay. So they just give you an opportunity to make more money, right? As the
driver.
If
you're a driver, yeah.
Yeah, as a driver.
Right.
Is it true that, I mean, they advertise that you can make like $1,000 a week. Does that make sense to you?
I think it depends on how much you drive. Exactly. But that's with anything. If you work more, you make more.
Right. So it's probably like you have to drive a lot.
Right.
To earn that kind of money.
Which is great, though, because, I mean, you're in your car. That's your overhead. And right. then you have a business that just runs on its own.
Yeah. I mean, I can't imagine it would be too hard to make $100 a day.
No.
You know, so that's $3,000 a month. That's not bad.
Right.
For a few hours.
Yeah.
In fact, I was thinking, you know, the problem with me is I have a two-door car, so I can't use it.
No, you wouldn't be able to do it.
Right.
You have to have a four-door.
Right. So what I'm thinking of is I could even rent the car for a day, pay $30, and make $100 or more.
Well, you don't necessarily know how much you're going to make, but yes, you could do that.
Right. Well, as long as I make more than $30, then right. I'm okay.
Yes.
But then you have to allow yourself a few good hours.
The best hours, I think they say, are like the mornings because of people going to the airports and also at night when people go out.
Yeah. See, that's when I do it. I don't want to drive in morning traffic. Forget about that.
Yeah.
But the more I think about it, the more ingenious it is. I mean, it gives people, a lot of people, an opportunity to make money without having to have any qualifications or anything.
Yeah.
It's a great idea.
It is.
It's a great idea. I mean, I'm surprised that people that need money don't do it. They might as well.
Everyone should.
Yeah.
I mean, it's like the new version of being a server at a restaurant.
That's true, huh?
Yeah. And then you don't have to, like, deal with people, like, not liking your food. I mean, I guess people could not like your service and you can rate them.
Right.
But how hard is it to put somebody in your car and take them somewhere?
Exactly. I'm sure they let you rate people there too, though, right?
Yeah. That's what I'm saying. Yeah. Yeah. You rate each other. It's a mutual rating system.
Yeah, like eBay and stuff.
Yeah.
Oh, interesting.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I've never used it because I don't have to. But
right.
So I never really even looked into it.
Yeah.
So I only just heard Uber this, Uber that. But yeah. I know there's a company that before Uber came out, they started, I forget what it's called, and I don't know if it's still around, but an arrangement where you can pick up a car, somebody else's car, if it's nearby, and it has like key locks and stuff, so you can just take the key, take the car, and drop it off wherever you are.
Like rent somebody's car?
Yeah, like you rent their car.
Yeah.
But through a company.
Right. It's almost like Airbnb, but for your car.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, they've thought of everything.
I don't know
what else there's left to innovate.
You know? There are some things.
I know, but still, it's amazing how far we've come.
I agree. It is amazing.
Yeah.
Sam, what are you going to do for your birthday since I won't be here to find out?
I know. My plan is I'm looking forward to a nice one because all the family is going to be here. My parents will be here, not on the 10th, but on the 11th.
Right.
So we'll just celebrate it a day or two later with the family. And that's it. Usually I don't make plans for my birthday. It's usually last minute. You know, family, friends will say, okay, well, let's do this, let's do that, you know. But because I don't make big deals out of birthdays. It was never a big deal in my family.
Yeah.
But it is cool to have a birthday. It should be a big deal. My kids make a very big deal out of it. Because
I mean, you've won every year.
Yeah.
That's the only day to celebrate you, so you might as well do it.
That's true.
Some people
do like a birth week, right?
Well, I mean, if you're speaking about me specifically, yes.
You do?
Well,
I'll do it too.
I turned 30 this year, that's why.
Right.
So.
Yeah.
I think you should celebrate as much as you want.
Right, exactly. And feel special every day.
Yeah.
Yeah, there you go. You see? We know what we're talking about.
Yep.
So, for those listeners that don't know, you're flying out tonight to Florida to see your parents and your family and go back home and sort of like just relax.
There's no relaxing.
No. Now, is the house that your mom lives in, is that where you grew up?
No.
No.
Mm-mm.
So you don't get to go back to your childhood home.
I never had a childhood home. We moved every 4 years.
Oh.
Yeah.
Hmm. Okay.
But that was just because my parents really loved, like, the real estate market, and they loved new things. So, like, they'd get bored.
Right.
And they'd, like, as a hobby, go look at houses that were for sale.
Yeah.
So we'd go look for houses, not thinking we'd move. Yeah. We were just curious.
Yeah.
And, of course, then we'd end up selling our house and buying that house and moving every 4 years. It was coincidence that I was, like, every
That's
4 years.
That's true. But you know what? I'm thinking about it also, and we also moved every few years when I was growing up. But it was all more or less in the same area, so it wasn't that bad.
Mind you.
But... Yeah?
Yeah.
Yeah, so it's the same neighborhood, so who cares? You know, you don't need the same house. But, yeah, we moved around quite a bit now that I think about it. Probably 4 times by the time I was 16. So, yeah, every about 4 years.
Yeah.
It wasn't quite that that regular, you know. I mean, some places were only 2 years, and then my mom didn't like it, and we moved again.
Yeah.
But, yeah, so... Anyway, okay, so let's get to our guest. We have a musical guest who hopefully has more to say than just in music. And this is also your friend, right,
yep.
Jen?
Yeah.
Go ahead and introduce him to us.
We have Andrew Herringer of Milo Green.
Milo Green, that's not like CeeLo Green, right?
Cousins, distant
cousins. Andrew, welcome to the show.
Thanks for having me.
Thank you for coming in.
Yeah.
How long have you guys been friends now? Do you know?
About 3 years.
Almost. Yes.
3 years.
Yeah.
Cool.
I met Jen in an attic in Santa Monica.
In an attic?
In an attic. Yeah.
What's that?
It's like the attic of some cool Victorian place in Santa Monica that they had. He was playing a show.
Oh, okay. Mm-hmm. That makes sense.
Yeah.
Okay.
So
the attic is the place.
Yeah.
Okay. Sounds good. So, all right. Well, that sounds pretty good. How long have you been in L.A.? Have you always lived here?
No, I moved down here about 5 years ago.
Really? From where?
Yeah, I grew up in Northern California.
Oh, really?
Yeah, up in a small town called Placerville, which is where like the California Gold Rush happened. That's really the only reason anyone would know Placerville.
Yeah.
It's about, you know, 10,000 people or something now.
Wow. But,
you know, in 1850, it was the second largest city in California. That's the fun fact I liked it.
Yeah. So that would have to be like near Sacramento, right?
Exactly. That area. Between Sacramento and Lake Tahoe.
Yeah.
It's beautiful. It's up in the mountains and up in the hills.
Yeah, I want to check it out. In fact, my brother went with his son. They went on a trip with the school and to where the 49ers came and were looking for gold and stuff.
That's right where I grew
so
up.
So that's where, there. Oh, very interesting stuff. So it's pretty cool. And so a small town, and you decided what? At one point you needed to move to the big city?
Yeah, I went to college down in Irvine. And then after college, a whole bunch of my friends moved up to L.A., and I just thought – it didn't feel right for some reason. So I spent a couple years in Northern California in Sacramento kind of pretty much – I was doing my own singer-songwriter type of stuff. And I was – I bought a van, and I just pretty much drove around the West Coast for a couple years, just playing shows, playing wherever.
Wow, that's a person's dream, man. I mean,
I lived the dream,
right?
Yeah, lived the dream.
Very cool. Hopefully there's a lot more ahead for you.
Amen.
You know, to live dreams and stuff. That's pretty cool.
So, yeah, at some point I was up in Sacramento, and I saw a lot of really talented people up there, and I saw that there was kind of this ceiling that they all hit where they couldn't go any further. And I had started collaborating with some of the people who I work with in Milo Green now. And so it just kind of all of a sudden made sense. And one of my best friends needed to get out of his place in Silver Lake. And so I just moved right in. And it was just like, it was seamless. So, yeah, the universe was telling me to move to L.A. in that moment.
Yeah, definitely. And L.A. is definitely the place to go for music and everything else, you know. I mean, Sacramento is a beautiful city. But there's probably not a lot going on as far as
correct.
Music. Yeah.
Correct.
Now, what did you take in college?
I was a theater major.
A theater major.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
And so do you act also?
I did. Yeah, I did a
lot. Oh, you did?
I dabble. I don't really do much anymore. A friend of mine a couple years ago, one of my best friends, directed a movie that I had a part in. But for me, I did theater because of the storytelling background. Mm-hmm. And I did theater, or I did acting. I did like musicals. I did directing. I kind of, you know, I did lighting. I kind of dabbled in all of that. And so, but for me, it was kind of learning how to keep an audience's attention.
Yeah.
You know?
So you're a creative type. You're an entertainer, a performer.
Yeah.
And you always were. So you're probably not good at doing like office jobs and things like that.
I know. I probably wouldn't be. No. Yeah. I've never really tried it. I worked at Papa Murphy's once.
What's that?
It's a take and bake pizza. Uh-huh. That's like pretty much my only real job ever.
Really?
I was like 16, and yeah, you know, people come in and they order pizza, and you just lay out all the toppings, and you give it to them, and they go cook it at home.
Interesting.
Yeah, interesting. So you're saying you've been able to make a living in entertainment all this time?
Yeah, yeah. I mean, I've taught guitar lessons. I've done so many odd jobs. Guitar lessons. I taught like acting classes to kids before. So yeah, for a while. I mean, that was kind of part of why I moved up to Sacramento. It's just easier to, you know, make a living. You know, and the rent was pretty much nothing up there. So
yeah, well, that's pretty cool because, you know, many people just don't, you know, they can't survive on these things, you know, so they have to go and get a real or like a day job, and then they pursue the music at night. But you realize, hey, I've got enough talents, I'm going to use that to earn a living. Guitar lessons, anything, right?
I've always kind of had an ability to kind of like rough it, uh-huh, you know, a bit, and kind of deal with maybe circumstances that most people wouldn't. Like in Sacramento, I was pretty much like living in a converted like dining room. Like looking back on it, I'm gonna have so many stories where I'm like, oh my god, what was I doing? But you know, for a lot of it, it's just kind of been like, all right, how do I make the dreams come true? You know?
Right?
How do I keep making music?
Yeah. So you've been pretty flexible. I mean, anywhere you go, you can make a home there.
Pretty much. Yeah. For better or worse.
Yeah. So you've been in LA for 5 years now.
5 years, yeah. But a lot of that, I've been on the road touring with Milo Green.
Really? So Milo Green is your band.
Yes.
Did you start the band? So from what you said, you started the band up there already?
Yeah. I, some of my friends, Robbie Arnett, who's in the band, he was living down here at the time. And we had kind of started sending music back and forth. And we started, he was in a band down here. And I had known him from college, and so we, over kind of like a year, then this was before I moved to LA, we just kind of started sending things back and forth, and then as just kind of an artistic experiment, we would go up to like cabins, like friends' cabins and friends' houses, and just start, we'd take all our own recording equipment and just start, you know, making things, just creating just for the fun of it, you know.
Yeah.
And it just kept going, and we just at some point we found that music resonated more with us than anything we had made before, and so it kind of, I mean, we weren't looking to start a band. The band just kind of happened because we had made this music that we really believed in.
So you were making music before you were a band?
Yes.
Together?
Yeah, we just, you know, started doing it for the fun of it. Mm-hmm. You know.
Yeah. And then the idea of a band came up. So how many people do you have in the band?
There are five of us.
Five of you?
Yeah.
What are the instruments?
It's pretty much your usual rock.
Two guitars, bass,
well,
keyboard.
Well, the thing that's unique about Milo Green is that there are four lead singers. All of us play guitar and play bass, and so we end up passing instruments around the whole time.
How cool!
We've got a drummer, and that is his, you know, stationary role.
I know,
nice.
Drummers won't give up their territory.
He's our foundation. He's our rock.
Yeah.
But yeah, Milo Green is unique in that sense. We have a lot of four songwriters, four singers. So yeah, it's a bit of a unique.
Yeah.
Thing.
I will say that I've been to many of their shows.
Yeah.
And like probably eight now. Like,
wow.
Yeah, that's a lot of shows.
Wow.
Yeah. But I mean, it's been like 3 years. So
yeah.
I've seen them play. And part of the fun of their show is that they do switch instruments. And then like there's this also like this, what is it called? The shaker.
Hmm. Okay. There's the shaker.
I love the shaker. I don't know why. It's so fun.
Random percussive instruments.
Yes.
Yeah.
And it's just like fun to watch because they're all so talented, and then they swap and you're like, what? What just happened to my eyes?
Yeah.
The shakers
are usually for the people that don't have an instrument, right? They have to
something. Put something in their hand.
Well, they like multitask. It's like amazing to watch.
Sometimes like Robbie will have a guitar on and then have the sleigh bells going, and yeah.
Do you have keyboards too?
No, there's a keyboard. Yeah.
Okay, because I'm trying to picture the sound and stuff. But let's play a couple of tunes. Yeah, I'm on your website now. Right. It says music. Are there songs on
there?
Yeah,
they should
okay,
be.
So I'll go there on there. We're talking to Andrew Herringer in the group Milo Green. Oh, Milo Green?
Milo Green.
Yeah, one L. And a friend of Jen's, and we're going to play some music, and you're also going to play some acoustic live stuff.
Yeah.
So we'll do that. Which song should we play?
There's like one called On the Fence.
On the Fence, okay. Yeah, let's go ahead and stream that. That's a newest single?
Yes.
Okay. So let's click on that and see. Oh, you have to. Okay, well, YouTube. Let's do YouTube. The URL is not configured for YouTube. Man. All right, let's
see. We have an album that's called Control that came out in January.
Oh, wait, I can play it on the page.
Oh, there
we go.
Yep.
Yeah, On the Fence, Milo Green. Fence, Milo Green, and we have Andrew in the studio. Andrew, I love this music, man.
Thank you.
You know, usually we, well, not usually. I mean, sometimes, I mean, we bring in artists and stuff like that, and I'm not crazy about the music. Mm-hmm. I mean, you can appreciate it and everything, but it's not your type or my type. But this music I can definitely get down to.
Get down.
So you have females in the band too?
Yeah, one female.
Oh, wow. Oh,
yeah.
Yeah, when her part comes on, it's like definitely my music, you know.
Wait, so that song doesn't feature a lot of you though, does it?
The chorus ends up all of us are
singing. All of you, right.
Yeah, yeah.
And who sings the lead on that one?
Robbie comes in the beginning and then Marlena takes over and then the chorus is kind of all four voices.
Right.
And that was one of the things we were trying to do with this record was kind of find a way for the first record. It was kind of a lot of like group singing, a lot of four people singing at once, and kind of that big like kind of almost like a choral type of sound. But this record, we were looking to kind of have each person's individual voice kind of come out and have it a little bit more.
Give everybody an opportunity, and it also diversifies the sound and the material. You know, it's not like everything is the same. You know, people stuff a lot of songs into an album. Half of them they don't even care for anyway, and they just put them there, and it sounds like everything sounds the same. You know, so now I'm curious to hear another song that's like a different style or a different voice Do you have one with you singing the lead?
Is there a 1957?
There
on
is 1957.
That one's from our first record.
Is it?
Yeah.
In fact, I was going to ask you about it because that's 3 years before I was born.
All right.
What was the meaning for you guys?
1957 is actually the address of an apartment.
Oh, really?
it's over in Los Feliz. That's where the house that I moved down to when I moved to LA. Uh-huh. And we wrote a lot of the music there. The apartment itself inspired the song.
Oh,
yeah.
Interesting. Okay, so we're going to hear 1957 by Milo Green.
Yay. I'm a fan.
Another cool song, man. Now, you sing pretty cool, and I like that the girl does the harmonies and mm-hmm. stuff, you know. Mm-hmm. I happen to like that, you know, like when there's songs like duets with a male and female, I like it, you know.
Because, it's pretty.
Yeah, yeah. And that's an example of a different type of song that you have. The first one was more like keyboard placed, yeah. Keyboard based, and this one's more guitar. And mm-hmm. things like that. Did you write this one?
Yeah, but a couple of us were together when we wrote that. And
right.
The you were bringing up the difference of the sound of the two, and the first record definitely was kind of more inspired by kind of acoustic guitars and acoustic instruments, and then we spent 4 years on the road making that record touring on that record, and we got to a place where we got to come home and make another record, and we kind of were like, all right, well, what did we not get to play with on the last record, and so we started playing around with like drums and keyboards and synthesizers and stuff, and kind of started shooting off that way.
Yeah, and that's good because you always try new things, you mm-hmm. know. I think some artists pretty much stay where they start and they don't evolve.
I mean, with us too, there's the four lead singers and the four songwriters aspect where you've got all these people with all their influences, and I think it's the type of band that will constantly be changing because of that fact. Everybody's kind of off getting inspired by different things, and then when you come back together, it's like, okay, well, where do we meet now?
So, where have you toured? In a lot of different places? I mean, four years will take you to a lot of different places.
We've been around the U.S. a number of times. We've done a whole bunch of headlining tours. We've had some really great support tours. Our first tour was with a band called the Civil Wars, mm-hmm. We've toured with them. We're about to go out with a band called Foster the People on Saturday. We'll be out with them for a couple weeks. So we've gone all around the U.S., gone up into Canada. We've been to the U.K. We were over there three times on our first record, and we went all around Europe for a while, too, with a band called Cold War Kids.
Yeah, so you lived the life.
Yeah, we've been living the life.
You see, there you go. That's the way to do it.
Diving in head first.
Yeah, exactly. But that's the thing. I mean, many people are musicians or they love music and they want to make it, but they don't really make an effort or they don't live the lifestyle.
Mm-hmm.
You just have to say, that's it. I'm just a musician and that's it. I'll be poor for a while, whatever. But, you know, but at least, you know, yeah. I don't know. That's yeah. one way to look at it. And the other way is I like people that that take care of themselves, you know, and get to work. But if you manage to make a living out of that, I salute you for that. You know, it's very Thank cool because you. You're pursuing your dream.
Salute.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Now, I'm looking for, like, pictures of the band. There's no pictures on your website.
Oh,
is
really?
There? Let me try to go to the...
I haven't been on the website in a minute.
Really?
Yeah.
Okay. I'll tell you, there's a couple pages, but...
maybe a good, like, Google search. I'm sure there'll be a bunch of photos there.
Oh, okay. Oh, there's the photos of the... okay, of all of the faces together under the tour poster.
They're an attractive group of people.
Yeah, I can Aww. See that. Very cool. It helps to be attractive.
I guess.
Right?
And talented.
And talented. No, well, that goes without saying,
right.
You know. But many people that would go like on American Idol and stuff.
Yeah.
They don't have the look. It's not enough to be able to sing. You gotta
Well, on
have the
Voice,
look.
You can just sing. You don't yeah. have to have the look.
Right.
Yeah. So.
Oh, the Voice?
Yeah.
They don't care about the look so much.
No, well, that's the whole point of the turning chairs, because they don't want to see you. They
right.
want to hear you.
Right. Although, but in the Voice, they don't take a lot of people. It's not like American Idol, right? So they only have a few.
No, they take... It's
You mean the auditions start with thousands of
yeah,
people?
Yeah, and that... Well, and you don't really see that process.
Right.
Thank God.
Right.
Sorry.
So that's why I didn't realize it was...
I feel like sometimes with like American Idol, like
those
first rounds are just like they kind of accentuate the people who are the crazy. You
yeah.
know, like just,
and the auditions and stuff. I loved it.
I auditioned for
part.
American Idol.
Did you really?
And I was better than some of the people they put as the auditions. I'm like,
yeah.
Okay, well... You know, those people you picked because they were awful.
So did yeah. you get past, like, the first big catapult?
No.
Yeah, yeah.
There's a million people there.
There is a million people.
And
I'm
I
surprised
was terrified.
That everybody gets to audition. That's a lot of
well,
people.
Well, you don't audition
right?
for, like, the judges. You audition for other people.
Right, but still, I mean, that's a lot of people to audition.
It is.
Yeah?
It is.
Thousands, right?
Yeah.
Yeah. Well.
Yeah. That was the end of my music career.
Yeah.
Unless you need me to do a shaker
well,
for you.
Well, we
my,
might.
My music career is switching gears, though, to like being more on the like decision-making side.
Oh, okay.
Right.
Are you,
the Gen Test.
You're getting in the biz. Oh, yeah. Actually, this is a really good point. So my girlfriend, Nikki, Jen and Nikki are best friends. And so... Nikki spent years. Nikki makes movies, and so she spent years. You know, she would come up with these ideas at work about you know what some new movies would be, and then she'd come home. She'd be really excited to share them with Jen, and there'd be times. And Nikki still talks about this. She'll be like, you know, there'd be times she came home and she'd be like, "Hey, Jen, what do you think of this?" And Jen would be like, "No." Won't work. And she's like, whatever, you don't know what you're talking about. I'm gonna go and sell this. And then she'd go out and try to sell it and it wouldn't work. Yeah, you know, no one would buy it. And then the things where, you know, she'd come home and be like, "Hey Jen, what do you think of this?" She'd be like, "Yeah, that's great. That's great."
Yeah.
And so we have the Jen Test where we'll send, you know, songs to Jen and be like, "What do you think?" Because I think
represent the people.
Yeah. So now let me ask you this though. So when she says the song is good, does it make it then?
Yeah, absolutely.
Really?
No, she knows. Yeah, she has the gift of the people.
The
there
people.
You go. So you need
I
to be an agent or. Yeah.
I mean, I'm keeping it small. I literally just work for Nikki and Andrew. I okay. like that's. I have two clients.
This could be the start of your consulting career.
Right.
Though.
Yeah. There you
Tell,
go.
Like play something for me. No, that's just not gonna. Not the people it. Aren't gonna like it.
Yeah.
Or the people are gonna love that. Stick with that sound.
Yeah, but I mean, if you have the ability to discover talent. You could be very successful.
Maybe.
With that.
One day.
Yeah.
I'm real busy right now.
Yeah.
I have two clients. I have a radio show. I drink a lot. My days are full.
Yeah, she's got to make time for drinking. I mean, that's part,
yeah.
of the,
yeah.
part of the daily schedule.
Yeah,
mm-hmm.
come on,
yeah.
guys.
Mm-hmm.
So you're on tour right now.
We're about to be.
Yeah,
yeah we're starting Saturday in Reno, Nevada with Foster the People.
Right. I see it. You actually started it here in LA April 29th.
Well,
right?
yeah, we did a show for Red Bull a couple weeks ago
oh.
At the Echo, which was fun. We haven't played there in a couple years, so it was cool to get kind of into more of an intimate venue.
Uh-huh. Well, I see you got quite an itinerary here,
yeah,
man.
Yeah, we're about to, I mean, we're pretty much going to be driving around for the next 6 weeks.
Yeah.
We do two weeks with Foster the People here, and then we're doing a couple, we're kind of getting festivals, and then a whole bunch of markets we didn't hit on our tour in, like, February and March. So we're starting off at Sasquatch, the festival, which is up in Washington, up in the middle. It's at the Gorge Amphitheater. Uh-huh. Do you know anything about the Gorge?
No.
It's gorgeous. It really is, though. It's like, it's this, big stage, and then right behind the stage is this just gigantic, it's the Columbia River Gorge. So the river is just flowing right
How
by
cool.
There.
Yeah, beautiful.
The lineup's great. So going to be up there and I just found out actually when I was getting here today that I'm able to, we're going to be camping there for the weekend. So
that's cool.
Gonna be a ton of fun. Yeah.
How do you get on these tours? Like, how did you get matched up with Foster the People?
The people. I don't know.
But do you have an agent?
Those same people.
The people. Yeah, we got managers and booking agents, and they're kind of constantly trying to, putting our name out there, trying to, get tours going.
That's important.
That was huge. I mean, for me, I was up in Sacramento, like I was saying, and I was trying to kind of run my own band, and I was literally doing everything, like booking the band and, coding the website and getting back to all the messages. And I barely had time for music. And so when I moved down here, there was kind of this moment in my life where I had to kind of like take a step back and say, like, okay, I've, there are these other people that I can kind of give all these things, all these tasks to, and I don't have to really be a part of that anymore. I get to go make music, which is really what I want to be doing anyway. So we're totally blessed with the team that we have around Milo Green. Really, a lot of the people there have been there since day one or even before, and are just, everyone owns it like their own, which is, all you
is
can
Is that
ask
how
for.
The name of the second album came out?
Control?
Yeah.
Control, I think there are a lot of things about Control. I mean, for us, with so many heads involved, especially just, even from the core of just the songwriting, the album's called Control. And so, it's one of those things where we were trying to kind of bring more people in, bring the label in, bring our management in, and give everybody kind of that sense of control, while at the same time, each of us, there can only be so many cooks in the kitchen at times, so everyone kind of allowing others to have control at times. And so, I think Control goes a lot of different ways in that moment.
Yeah.
Cool. Well, what is it you're going to play for us today?
It's a new song.
Okay.
Are we doing this now?
Do we have some time?
Yeah, we do. In fact, that's what I was going to ask him to do because we're running out of time. While you're doing this, how did you get the name Milo Green? What does it mean?
Okay, so Robbie and I were in college together, and when we were both playing in bands back at that time, and we realized in order to get more gigs, we wanted to sound more professional, and so we created a fictitious booking agent named Milo Green, and he would send out emails for us.
Oh, what a great idea!
So I would write, "Hello, my name is Milo Green, and I represent Andrew Herringer." Because people are much more willing to book you if they think you have somebody who's representing you.
Right,
if you're a big enough deal to have somebody reaching out on your behalf, then you must be something. It's at least better than, "Hi, I'm Andrew, and I want to play at your venue."
Exactly. Just like we get request for interviews from PR and stuff, and sometimes you'll get it from the person himself, and they speak in third person, it's like, come on, but anyway, so what
that's
song
Milo Green,
what song are you going to play for us?
It's a new song, so new that I've been kind of still playing around with the name of it. But I think it's Answers We Already Know.
Okay,
let's hear it.
Out in the clover, over and over, I find myself wondering if it's time to let you go. Keep
looking through memories, keep searching my soul, keep searching for questions to answers we already know. I've been holding on to heartbreaks at the end of all these dark days. I keep thinking if we part ways, might be the best way to go. I keep hearing and knows that it's time to move on. Pause in the sunshine with attention above, searching for questions. I know that the answer is. Holding on to heartbreaks at the end of all these dark days. I keep thinking if we part ways, I keep thinking we can find love in these dreams that we are made of. Let go instead of holding on. Might be the best way to go. Might be the best way to go.
If you're curious, I like that one.
Awesome.
Just in case.
What's Periscope think?
Periscopers. What do you think of Andrew's new song? Wait, so Andrew, is that going to be an Andrew song or is that going to be a Milo song?
We already recorded it as a Milo song.
Sweet.
We started working on new songs for another record. So.
Very nice.
That was awesome.
Oh, there are pictures of you guys on the website. Everybody can go and check it out. I don't know why this went to Vanity Fair all of a sudden. I don't know what happened here. But anyway, everybody go to Milo Green. That's Green with an E at the end. MiloGreen.com. You can check out the band. We're talking to Andrew Herringer here in the studio. And we played a couple of his songs. And this one was great. You know, I mean, it's like, it's probably going to stay an acoustic song, right? When you record it?
Yeah. It's definitely kind of more of that vibe. I love kind of like the Crosby, Stills, Nash, Young type of feel, you know. So I think something along that line.
Yeah, I noticed a certain amount of influence there and stuff, you know, of that kind of. I mean, the music you guys do, it's not like like a lot of the modern stuff that you hear on the radio.
Yeah.
You know, it's more like a throwback to times when music was a lot more melodic, I think, you know?
Mm-hmm. Definitely.
Yeah. So, yeah, because you guys focus on the melody and on the song more than you do on like driving guitars and things like that, mm-hmm, you know. Mm-hmm. And that's what I like, you know. I like awesome. When the focus is on the song itself. And
yeah. You should go see them
the
live.
Melody. I will.
It's a real treat.
I will, but they're going to be out of town for a while
yeah,
now.
This is true.
Yeah. So let's see. So you have some legs of the tour. I mean, so you're going all over the place, right?
Yeah. Going yeah. way up into Canada, dropping back down in the States, doing a lot of East Coast stuff. And then we're ending up at a new festival called Firefly. Have you heard of Firefly?
No, what is
it's
that?
It's in Delaware.
Oh.
And so it'll be our first time in Delaware. It's great, though. It's only like the third or fourth year of the festival. And it's like, I mean, it's getting as big as, you know, Bottaru or
Lollapalooza. Oh, wow. Who's headlining?
I think Paul McCartney is.
Get out.
He's great. We got to see him at Bonnaroo and Outside Lands a couple years ago. And he's 70 years old, and he is incredible.
He still jams.
Like,
Sir Paul.
I mean, I literally, he jams out, and then the moments, like, he was doing, like, Blackbird, and it literally brought tears to my eyes. Like, it was just, I mean, it was perfect.
What do you think of his new song with Kanye and Rihanna?
wait, does he have one? I know that I've heard the Kanye one where like he's doing stuff in the background.
Yeah.
Is there one where like he's singing lead on anything?
No,
it's all like more like Kanye.
He's playing the guitar.
It's great.
Yeah.
I think it's awesome that he can like continue to
he's still relevant.
Yeah. I mean it's gotta be awesome for him. Like I don't know if you guys saw any of the Sound City. Dave Grohl documentary where like he just brought like Paul McCartney in at the end and was like, let's jam, you know.
Yeah.
And I mean, all these people, he's been so inspiring to so many artists, you know, that everybody wants to kind of bring him in and be like, hey, you know,
he's still around.
Yeah. And able to like perform, you know, like yeah. I think there are some artists that, you know, they just haven't been able to, I'm not gonna name names, but there's some people who just can't like stay on top of their craft.
Exactly. But you know? many can, you know. I mean, when you look at the Rolling Stones and mm-hmm. Aerosmith mm-hmm. and you know all these bands, I mean, these guys are quite old, you know. I mean, they're in their 60s and but they still behave like they're teenagers. You know, and
Mick Jagger, cool. I don't think ever wants to believe he's not a teenager.
Yeah, I know. They lived a life, you know.
Oh, yeah.
So, cool. So, anything else to promote, Andrew, that you want to... So, you're going to be... let me go back. I'm trying to find the poster here for your tour.
Yeah.
But, I mean, there is a tour here, but there was a poster. It was easier. Oh, there mm-hmm. it is. Okay. Mm-hmm. So you're going to be in Reno and Boise, Idaho, Salt Lake City, Denver. I mean, you're going everywhere.
Going everywhere.
So if you guys want to check them out, go to Milo Green. That's green with an E at the end, .com. MiloGreen.com.
And we just announced yesterday we're going to be at Austin City Limits in October, which will be a lot of fun, too. So yeah.
That's pretty awesome.
Yeah.
Oh, in Austin?
That's
yeah.
That's a great festival.
Yeah.
It's two weekends, and I think that's like Foo Fighters and all sorts of people. So, yeah.
Yeah, rubbing elbows with some big names.
I'm hoping that Sasquatch, just the artist tent area, is just, you know, just a 4 days of elbow rubbing.
Do you ever get starstruck?
Yes.
By whom?
Do you know Ryan Adams?
Yeah.
There was one time, and
I'm sad he and Mandy Moore split up.
I know.
That's probably
what a bummer.
Yeah, I know.
What a bummer.
Sad.
There was one time I met him. In Charlottesville, Virginia, and I just didn't know what to say. A friend of mine was a little bit more inebriated and a more loose, and she just kind of kept talking to them, and it was to a point where I was just like, I think I mumbled out a sentence like about how much I really liked one of his albums, and then I was like, I can't tell you how much I've listened to Heartbreaker this year, and there was like this pause, and I was like. And all your albums, because I didn't want him to feel like I just like the one.
Right.
It was just like way too much overthinking. So, but yeah, I think the last couple of years, like a whole bunch of the Milos worked with Damien Rice on his last record, and that was definitely somebody where I had to like kind of have this moment of composure and be like, okay, you're going in and you're making music with this person, and this is somebody you've listened to, you know, for years, you know, and it's been someone inspiring. So, like, all right, let's not geek out. Let's not, like, get starstruck. Let's go in there and actually, you know, make music with this person.
Yeah,
so,
there you go.
Yeah.
We're totally out of time. Andrew here and Drew, thank you so much for joining us. Mm-hmm. You're a lot
Thanks
of fun. Great music.
Oh, you guys are a blast.
We wish you really all the best, you know. I mean, you guys definitely are on the right track. And you're doing what it takes, you know, and you deserve to be famous and big.
All right, thank you.
So when you get there, don't forget us minions here.
I'm never going to forget Jen because...
I wouldn't let him.
I need... Well, and I need the Jen test. Like, she is instrumental to my success.
Yeah. Thank you.
You need
thank
someone
you,
brutally honest, right?
Brutally honest. There you go.
Call
That's
me.
Why you have Jen around, right?
There you go.
That's true.
Yeah.
Anyway, Jen, Thanks, have a pleasant trip.
Thank you.
We're going to miss you.
Happy birthday.
Thank you. You guys should tune in... tomorrow we're going to have Lauren, Jen's friend. She's going to be here until Tuesday. So you guys should tune in. We'll have a lot of fun here. And Jen, hopefully you'll call in sometime.
I will.
The show if you can. All right, everybody. Thank you all for listening, and we'll see you tomorrow.
You're listening to Sam in the Morning with Jen right here on LA Talk Radio.